Do you guys cooperate with the Surrey RCMP or the Surrey local police? Do you cooperate with each other, share intelligence, try to help each other?
Yeah, no, absolutely. That with the gang conflict, it does know no boundaries. So we do share information. There is, monthly meetings that all the local jurisdictions are part of, in which, you know, intelligence information is really shared at a very high level. And that's really important. And then if we do have an incident, you know, we're there to support each other and they're there to support us. And we're also happy always to share our programs. I think that's one thing other police departments do when they see one agency that's having some success with a program. We're all happy to share that. And we also work very closely with the CFSU Combined Forces Special Enforcement Unit. They come out here to other jurisdictions to help support our programs as well. So it is a team effort because, like I said, gangs know no boundaries. But we're happy to share more on our programs.
You just said that you work well with youth and try to intercept them in your program so they don't go towards that direction. Do you work with schools?
Yeah, no, absolutely. We still have, unlike some unfortunate jurisdictions that have lost their youth officers, we still have a youth officer program. They work closely with our gang intervention officers and civilian and staff. And it is an important part. I really believe we have to invest in our youth. We don't see the results right away. But, you know, if we don't educate, if we don't build those relationships, then I think the impacts that we see over the next, you know, 3, 4, 5 years are significant. So I'm very committed to our youth program. I know our school district and school board are committed to it. And I really believe it's very valuable in helping it. And also, Sergio, to identify youth who are vulnerable. So our youth officers will identify a young person, typically a male, who is gearing towards that lifestyle. And they can actually make the referrals to our Pathways program.
You know that America sees mass shootings on almost a daily basis. And they're gun laws are very weak. And some are saying that because we share a border with America, that their loose gun laws are now having an impact on Canadian borders. People are smuggling illegal guns from America and that are fueling gang violence here. What do you think the federal and provincial governments need to do to stem that tide?
Yeah, there has been a lot of discussion on this and certainly some federal changes coming down, you know, in regards to, handguns and, assault rifles and things like that. You know, I'm supportive of, we know where these guns typically are come from. We know that we need to do, like you're saying, the border, you know, guns that are being illegally brought through the border. But also another thing is called straw purchases is a huge issue for us where people who have a legitimate gun license are buying guns. And then, getting those to in the wrong hands of people who you want to use them for illegal, matters. And the other thing now that's been a real issue for us, Sergio, is what we call ghost guns, but with 3D printers and people can buy some parts online and then make the rest of the components via a 3D printer. And that's now become a huge issue. So, for me, it's rather than focusing some of the changes in laws on law-abiding people who choose to have, to purchase guns, we need to focus on the areas where we know that the gangsters, gangs are getting their guns and laws that deal with that. So for me, that's where I want to prioritize, our efforts. And I do have a concern, certainly I don't want to see, semi-automatic and very high-powered rifles in the hands of anybody. Bluntly, I would like to see those banned. And we saw that horrible incident in Saanich just a couple weeks ago. And those guns, the police officers, were in a very, very dangerous, difficult situation, because they had high powered rifles. But, the handguns for lawful gun owners who choose to go to the range, I think that's not our focus. The focus should be the border, these illegal guns that are being produced, and then also people who are abusing their licenses, which is I would argue, is a little the lower of the three.
We've seen over the last couple of years, especially with the George Floyd incident in America, minorities in some police departments, especially in the United States. But Canada is not immune to this either. having bad relations with one another, or misunderstandings, or bad relations, not understanding one another. And Abbotsford has always had a good relationship with its police force and its community. What do you think Abbotsford is doing differently that is making a difference in building a good relationship between the community and the police force?
Yeah, great question, Sergio. And you know what? It is critical, building those relationships and building the trust. And without question, the number one thing to do is communicate. And then when you've communicated a lot, you communicate more. COVID certainly put some challenges on us because we weren't able to get out again and meet with people. You know, with George Floyd, and that broke our heart, but that's not what represents Canadian policing. And, you know, it does exist everywhere. We know that racism and biases, and we have to change that. But meeting with and connecting with the community is critical. So, for example, shortly after George Floyd, we started a community connection circle where, you know, people from our racialized community, which is so diverse here in Abbotsford, came together with UFE sponsoring this. And we just created really important dialogue and discussed important issues that matter to them, their community, and our community. The other thing is, you know, connecting. So, for example, I was at the mosque about 3 weeks ago. I went to all the gurdwaras. I met with all the leadership there over the last couple weeks. And those conversations and building those relationships and one-on-one trust is what we really strive to do as a department. And I know our entire department is very engaged in, you know, getting out to all the different events that occur so that the community sees us, they talk to us, and that trust and relationship is established and maintained.
And my last question is, what would your final message to the citizens of Abbotsford be on crime right now in Abbotsford and what the police department is doing to maintain low crime numbers?
Yeah, you know, it is a priority for us. We are very engaged. We work, you know, intelligence-led policing, identifying who our priorities are. A couple of things I wouldn't mind mentioning is, you know, number one is, you know, we know right now that there's some significant challenges with e-com. E-com, when you're reporting a crime, you're actually not calling the Abbotsford Police Department in most cases. You're calling e-com, which we contract out. And we're having some real concerns with delays in them answering 911 calls. That's not as often, but it does happen. But it's a non-emergency calls where people are waiting for extended periods of time. And in many cases, over 5% of the time, people are hanging up. And that to me is very troubling. I want to hear if there is a problem. I want to hear if you're a victim of a crime. Recommending people can go to abbypd.ca. You can report a crime online. And that will help us. If we don't know that crime is occurring in certain areas in our community, then it's hard for us to really focus and target our efforts and enforcement there. So, you know, we're working with e-com to address these challenges. We're trying to find some mitigation strategies here, but that's a priority. This is a safe community. Our numbers, we have the lowest, you know, property crime and violent crime or very low next to our, neighboring jurisdictions. So it's something that we're very proud of, that you know, the women and men who are out there every single day in uniform are just committed to reducing it. But my last message would be, please report your crimes, go online. And, if you're seeing a long wait, and that will help us even do a better job.
And thank you so much, sir. Your leadership in the Police Department is really making a difference. Thank you. And I just wanted to say thank you to all you, your department, all your members, because you guys put your lives on the risk to keep us all safe. So thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. That means a lot. And we'll talk soon.
Thanks for listening to Eye on the Valley right here on CIVL. Join me again next week as I have another great guest for you.